Hello, brainstormers. It's Bob Preston here, your host, and I'm letting you all know that I have some big plans to relaunch Property Management Brainstorm with a new definition and sense of purpose coming in August of 2023. In the meantime, I have some other heavy lifting that requires my focus and attention on the NARPM National Board of Directors as a Southwestern Regional Vice President and in my new role as Western Regional Director for Pure Property Management. But to keep posting actively, I'm producing some reruns of the best podcast episodes, what I'm calling PMB Classic Rewind. This episode is the OG, one of my very first, and you can tell as I was still perfecting my audio quality, but the content is still pertinent today regarding broker trust account compliance, and it features Allison DeSaro, who at the time was with Seacoast Commerce Bank, now Enterprise Bank and Trust. Have a listen.
Welcome to the Property Management Brainstorm Show with Bob Preston. Bob is the lead consultant and podcast host at Property Management Brainstorm, the consulting and strategic planning company dedicated to the property management industry. This podcast is for property managers and company owners seeking an in-depth look into current trends toward adding doors, growing recurring revenue, and building a high-profit property management business. You'll hear from leading professionals on hot topics, success stories, and strategies for expanding your company and assuring your property portfolios are managed efficiently. Now, here is your host, Bob Preston.
I have with me today by telephone Allison DeSaro of Seacoast Bank. Allison has built a banking business or banking practice around property management companies like us and real estate brokers. So she's very well qualified to discuss this topic. So Allison, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here in spirit, I suppose, since I'm in Boston. But
no, it's great. And we've got a good connection. So it's terrific. Now, you just moved to Boston, right? So it's a pretty exciting time for you.
Yeah, just relocated to Boston. Still with Seacoast Commerce Bank, still, you know, working in the same capacity. I was always kind of doing it nationally anyway. So it's more about a landing spot. So yeah, we just got out here a couple of weeks ago and getting all settled. So now it's back to reality.
Terrific. And maybe you can just briefly tell us about yourself, Seacoast Bank, what you do for the bank.
Of course. So my position is I'm the Senior Vice President of Property Management Banking at Seacoast. I've been there since very early 2010. What that really means is I only bank property management companies. And the benefit to the management companies is that I specialize in the compliance on the trust accounts for the brokers. So people call it a few different things. People call it escrow accounts,
sure,
trust accounts, but really it's a broker held trust account on behalf of his owners and tenants. So I specialize in the compliance on that. Well, I'm sure I'm getting a little bit ahead of us, but many, many banks, the majority of banks, I'd say, do not get it right when they set up these trust accounts. And that is all I do. So I just stick to what I'm good at and try not to do anything else.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, that's what attracted me to Seacoast Commerce Bank. You came to see me originally. This is a few years ago, and we started talking trust accounts. And previous to that, I was never able to get my bank, we'll go unnamed, to understand what I was trying to do. So I was never confident it was set up properly. So now we have it set up properly. Well, like you say, we'll get into that here in a minute. So now Allison is not an accountant per se. So we're not going to be getting into accounting concepts today, but rather the topic is more oriented to why it's so important for a property management company to have their banking aspects really dialed in properly and set up properly. So with that, let's dive right into the subject matter and talk banking. So this notion of the broker trust account, it was one of the very first things I learned back when I was studying for my broker's license, is that I was going to have one, right? And so maybe we can just talk about the definition of the broker's trust account. What exactly is it? Maybe we can start with that. And I'm sure you have a pretty good grasp on that aspect.
Yeah, of course. So the broker, well, in layman's terms, the broker trust account is an account that the broker holds all property-related funds in. So rents, security deposits, maybe you have reserves, maybe you're holding on to money for a large project. Any of that goes into a trust account. The reason why it must be a trust account is because even though it is in the broker's tax ID number, it's holding funds that do not belong to him. So anytime you're holding funds that do not belong to you, they have to be held in trust. The non-layman's terms, I'll tell you from California, their business and professions code, I think it's code 10145, states that brokers who accept funds belonging to others subject to real estate or property management transactions, they have to deposit those funds into a bank account. It has to be designated as a trust account and separate from general business accounts. So again, back to layman's terms, anything that does not belong to the broker gets held in trust.
Okay. Yeah. So those funds are being held for, the technical term would be a beneficiary.
It is for a beneficiary, but the majority of the time, especially in California, there are multiple beneficiaries within that account. So it limits, or not limits, it helps the beneficiaries, their funds completely avoid any risks that may come against the broker for any reason, which we will certainly get into, I'm sure, but it just keeps everything separate. So if the broker, if something happens to the broker, trust funds are held separately.
Yeah, let's talk about that now, because it's true. And one of the reasons a trust account, and by the way, we talk about the broker's trust account. This applies to real estate agents or real estate brokers who are more selling and helping people buy homes. But it also applies to property managers, because to be a property manager, you have to be a licensed broker, correct?
Yes, you must be. In California, there's some states where you don't have to be a licensed broker. But yes, this is for a broker trust account. Typically, if it were an agent selling, they would just hand it over to an escrow company, typically. Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, the broker trust account is the same for a property management company. That's what we call it.
Okay, so how, if I'm a homeowner and I entrust maybe a deposit, or if I'm a tenant and I entrust a rent deposit with a property management company and it goes into the broker trust account, what does that do for me? How am I being protected, or is it, you know, how is it perhaps more safe than maybe just giving it to somebody who puts it in their normal bank account?
Okay, so we can talk about a few kind of scenarios, which I just think is the better way to.
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
So a broker or the property management company is always worried about a failed audit. That could affect the broker if those funds were not put in the trust account. That's one of the main ways that would affect the broker if they were to fail an audit because it wasn't in a true trust account. However, many people don't really realize that it affects more often than not, it affects the tenant or the owner more so than the broker, not a failed audit, but these risks that I'm about to discuss. So mm-hmm. Let's say, for instance, there was a franchise tax board lien against the broker, which happens often. You know, it's not necessarily, it is not considered a favorable thing, but it does happen often. It doesn't really speak negatively about the broker. But let's say that there's a lien about that.
It could be some other event. It could be a lawsuit, or heaven forbid, yeah, like a bankruptcy or something that causes funds to be frozen of the broker or the property management company, right?
Exactly. And especially in a property management industry, there are usually plenty of lawsuits, and it's usually between the tenant and the property management company. But so if any of that were to come, the way that that process would work is, let's say, for instance, it was the franchise tax board, they would submit a letter of collection, or we call it a lien, to the bank. And basically it says any funds under this tax ID number must be frozen. So the bank would pull that tax ID number. If they pull, they could pull accounts on the broker's tax ID number that are a business corporate operating account or a payroll account and the trust account, because typically these trust accounts are held under the broker TIN as trustee for the beneficiaries. So if that account was not set up correctly, then all of those funds would be frozen because it's not really a trust account. Mm-hmm. Now, if it were truly a trust account, then the bank would be able to freeze the corporate operating account, the payroll account, the maintenance account, but they would not be able to freeze that trust account.
Okay.
So now, of course, if they did freeze that trust account, that's how that would affect the owner and tenant. You basically have no access to their money because the broker can't access that money and send it to them.
So it puts the funds that don't belong to the broker into a safe place that can't be touched by any interest outside of quote-unquote beneficiaries, the property owners and the tenants, right?
Exactly. And another risk that I don't want to say happens often, but it's likely to happen, is the lack of FDIC insurance on those accounts. Mm-hmm. So again, FDIC insurance right now, and years ago, this didn't really matter for a while because don't quote me on this, but I want to say between 2007 and 2012, I believe, depository FDIC insurance for non-interest bearing accounts was unlimited, but now it's back to $250,000. So any non-interest-bearing funds at the bank are only insured up to $250,000, but that's $250,000 per tax ID number. So a lot of people will say, oh, okay, I have 500, you know, I'm just throwing out random numbers, but I have $500,000 in trust funds. I'm going to open up two different trust accounts. That doesn't matter because it's still under the broker's tin. The way that it should be set up, if it were a true trust account, is that each beneficiary within that trust account, so the beneficiary being the owners or the tenants, is insured up to $250,000. Now, again, let's say that your bank was going under. I mean, you would most likely this day and age know about 6 months ahead of time. But let's say your bank is going under. The FDIC is going to come in and they're going to pull that. And they're going to say, you know, for conversation purposes, they would say, here's $1 million for XYZ company's tax ID number. Out of that $1 million, let's say 500,000 of that is trust accounts. So 500,000 is insured because we have all the beneficiary information. And then the other 500,000 is only insured up to 250,000, even though it's the same tax ID number. So if that were to happen, that's how another way that the owners and the tenants could lose their money. Because if it were not set up in a true trust account, then it's really insured $250,000, no matter how many accounts the broker has at the bank.
Okay, so the bottom line here is it's really important if you're hiring a property manager to make sure that they have a broker's trust account and that it's been set up with a federally insured bank, right? Like you guys are. And it's set up properly into what's known as a trust account. Have you come across property managers that don't do it that way, that don't have a true trust account, or maybe don't understand the concept and have done it incorrectly?
All of the time. Like I said, I've been doing this since early 2010, so about 8 years now. And I can probably count on less than two hands how many bank statements I have seen that were set up correctly for companies
outside of yours, right?
Yes, of course.
We're with Allison, so North County Property Group is set up properly.
When I'm moving companies over, I collect their bank statements, and typically I can tell just by looking at the bank statements. The other ways you could tell is by looking at you really want to look at signature cards. However, I rarely see the signature cards from other banks, but you want to know, you would know by the statements and the signature cards if it were a true trust account. On top of that, there are many other things that go into it as well, as such as collecting beneficiary information, just the list of owners from companies when they first come over. So I see it happen all the time. It's a very taboo subject in your industry and in ours, because when we're all becoming bankers, we're not by any means taught the rules on any state's Department of Real Estate standards for what makes it a trust account. And it's much different because, let's say, for instance, you have a family trust, right? Like we have a family trust, DeSaro family trust, you know, dated July 2013.
Right, and you have a trust agreement that's documented and spells all this out. So it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, so we walk into our bank, we hand them our certification of trust, our trust agreement, and they can go ahead and they can set up the trust account correctly. Now, as a property management company, you're not going to have any of that information. So you need to go with a bank that actually understands what you need. And what typically happens, pretty much always what happens actually, is that a property management company goes to open up a trust account with their bank. And the banker, first of all, usually doesn't even know what they mean by, I need to open up a trust account, because they'll say, I need to open up a trust account. They'll ask for that documentation, which of course is something you won't have. And then they will just go ahead and set up a checking account that then is nicknamed trust account.
Yes.
So the nickname of trust account is no different from you having a payroll account or a corporate operating account. It's absolutely no different. It's just like you opening up North County Property Group and then payroll account. So the statements can certainly fool someone. I mean, I know when I look at them, but to the naked eye or somebody non-banking, you could look at and know that it's just a nickname on an account.
So when a broker or a property manager is setting up a broker trust account the proper way, what kind of documentation is required? It's pretty straightforward, right?
It's actually very straightforward. It's actually really simple. So there are rules when it comes in California. Let me just preface that first, because every state has different.
Yes, correct.
Who can sign and who cannot. However, just back to what I was saying real quick, there are the Department of Real Estate rules for each state. But then on top of that, that there are the federal rules as well, what makes it a trust account. Mm-hmm. So you got to know both and you got to be able to combine the two. So I'm blanking on what the question was. I'm sorry.
It was what's the documentation required to set up?
So,
kind of the process for setting it up. How long does it take?
Yeah, sure. Sorry about that. So in California, if you were to come to me and say that you want to open up a trust account, just basic entity information, the same entity information that you would need to open up your corporate operating account. However, then I'm going to go, or someone from my team is going to go on the Department of Real Estate website, confirm that you are the broker, that mm-hmm. the corporation is actually, the Department of Real Estate actually considers the corporation the broker, mm-hmm. and then you, Bob Preston, are the designated broker for the corporation. But we'll go on, we'll search the corporation name and see who the officers and broker are for that corporation. And so then we know who's allowed to sign on the signature cards.
As the trustee, right?
Yes. Yes. But actually the way that we're going to prepare that signature card is because the corporation is actually considered the broker in the Department of Real Estate eyes. On the legal name of business, when you're looking at a signature card, every signature card, they all look different, but there's always a legal name of business, of course. And the legal name of business, which of course is just North County Property Group, is actually going to say on our signature card, North County Property Group as trustee, client trustee.
Okay.
Or and really you can call it whatever type of trust account you want. It just has to say trust account. So you could call it as trustee broker trust account, as trustee operating trust account, but that trust account has to be in there and the as trustee has to be in there. So the broker is that's where people always get mixed up because people say, oh, well, the legal name of business says North County Property Group, but then on the signature line for the designated broker, that says as trustee. That certainly will help you in an audit. But again, for federal rule, we want to ensure that as trustee designation is actually in the legal name of business as well.
Okay. So if I'm a person, an individual homeowner who's considering hiring a property management company, are there a few simple questions I could ask just to confirm that if I give you my funds, they're going to be in a proper trust account? What's the sniff test on that, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Sure. So we actually just went through this. And actually, I have to apologize. I'm just going to step back one quick moment and tell you, I didn't actually finish.
Sorry about that.
The documentation, but that's okay. I blanked on it. The other piece of documentation, after we get all the signature cards and all that set up, and we verify the Department of Real Estate's information, we then ask for a list of beneficiaries that you can pull from your software. It's just of your owners. And we know that your owners and your tenants turn over mm-hmm. all the time. But it is and we do that for FDIC insurance purposes. So it is an aggregate number. So if you're, a well-established company, which of course you are, we just need that list from the beginning. And then you can update it once a year if you'd like. But at the end of the day, it just shows that you have an adequate amount of beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. Because then in the event of that FDIC takeover, let's say, the FDIC would verify that you have that many beneficiaries. And then it's up to you to disperse via your bookkeeping records on your software and all of that.
Okay, terrific.
So I'm sorry. So back to the other question. So I actually, this has happened many times, but I actually just a few weeks ago did this for a company. So as a landlord or a homeowner looking for a property management company, you can certainly ask your prospective property management company if they're in a trust account. And I don't want to say that they would be lying, because I will tell you the majority of customers that I have brought over, or even companies that I don't bank and I just know through the industry and for one reason or another, they don't bank with me, they all think that they're in a trust account. And the reason for that is because their bank tells them that they are, because their bank doesn't have a real understanding more often than not. They do, but it's typically because they're banks.
And your typical retail bank is what we're, doesn't really understand this concept to the degree that you guys do.
Yeah, it's usually the consumer banks. We're a business bank, and there's obviously many business banks out there, but it's typically the consumer bank where you're dealing with, a branch manager or a new accounts person in the branch. That's typically where this all goes wrong. Business banks are different. You have access to senior management, and you have a senior management banker. So it's a little bit different than, just walking into a branch. But so typically the management company will say yes, because they think that they are. So my very candid advice to the homeowners and landlords is don't just take their word for it, because unfortunately they're taking their branch manager's word for it, and that may not be correct. You can request a letter from the bank, and you would want specific information within that letter. So for instance, we have a letter that we can provide, and we address it to the management company, but it's up to the management company to disperse that to their client. But we address it to the management company. We do it in much broader terms, but basically we say in this letter.
Yeah, kind of almost a letter of authorization that yes, you have a bona fide trust account in place. Interesting. Okay.
It is, but you do want that specific information in there. So you want, for instance, you want them to say what the rules are for the state that you're in. You want them to then verify below or above that based on those rules and those standards and the federal guidelines that you are in fact in a trust account.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep moving here because we are up against a little bit of time constraint here. So, all right, trust accounts and those same do-it-yourself homeowners. If I'm a do-it-myself homeowner and I put my house on Craigslist and I independently rent to somebody as a tenant, am I required to protect it in some kind of a trust account, or does it not apply to your typical individual landlords?
So I can tell you my understanding of the rule. For it, again, it is actually always different in most states, but the safest way to the rule, I can't tell you specifically because I'm not, again, I bank the management companies and the trust
accounts.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if I'm putting you in a position.
No, that's perfectly fine. And honestly, this is the safer way to do it regardless of what the rule is. So I'll just tell you my opinion on that matter, that it should be put into an escrow account or a trust account. I know, for instance, I don't bank any management companies in Massachusetts because of their Department of Real Estate rules, but the landlords must hold the security deposit in a separate account and it must be earning interest. It doesn't actually say in there or clarify in there that it must be a trust account, but like I said, if it's not your money, it should be in trust so that you're not at all because of anything that may happen to you in your account. So I would say to hold it into a trust, but again, I don't specialize in that. So,
well, there are lots of legal and personal issues that do-it-yourself homeowners can, you know, get into trouble when they're renting their house. And this is just one of them, right? I mean, I interviewed an eviction attorney this morning, and he was saying that the highest percentage of clients that come to him are individual homeowners that aren't managing their lease properly, nor the tenant, and they get themselves in trouble and end up in court. You know, so just another good reason to hire a property manager and get somebody who has a bonafide trust account and is protecting the funds on both sides, both the owner's funds and the tenant's funds.
I would certainly, with any investment property, because I've heard such horror stories, I would certainly put my property with a property manager.
Yes. Okay. Well, good. Thanks for that. Thanks for that endorsement. Okay. We've already talked a little bit about the fiduciary responsibility and of taking funds and depositing them into trust. I mean, that's kind of the process. So we accept rent, we accept owner deposits, they have to go into trust. What is the concept called commingling? Maybe you can touch on that a little bit, because we have two accounts with you. We have a trust account and we also have our operating account, and you can't commingle between the two. So can you touch on that just a bit? I know you're not an accountant, but maybe you can at least explain the concept.
Yeah. So you actually just answered it, but no broker, no funds that belong to the broker can be held within the trust account. With the exception of a $200 reserve that you can put in there that belongs to, you, the company, can go into the trust account, but that is it. There cannot be anything. For instance, if let's say, Bob, you have investment properties. You cannot have any of your investment properties, even though they're investment properties and you're renting them out, they cannot be in the same trust account as your third-party management owners.
Right. And vice versa. I mean, if I'm taking a rent deposit from somebody, I can't put that in the operating account that I'm using to pay my employees, pay the rent for our office or, whatever corporate expenses we may have.
So here's a scenario. Let's say a company collects rent or in cash one day. The tenant comes in and gives them cash and they can't get to a bank to deposit that cash, but they have a check scanner in the office. They cannot deposit that those funds into their operating account and then write a check from the operating account into the trust account, because that is still commingling. That means that for
technically even commingling, sure.
Yeah, even for a minute, money that did not belong to them and belonged to an owner or a tenant went into their operating account.
All right, terrific. What else, Allison? Are there any other aspects specific to trust accounts? I mean, I guess we know about commingling now. There are certain things that can be paid and shouldn't be paid out of the trust. And also, you know, the same applies to the operating account. So what can the trust account funds be used for? And I know you're not an accountant, so I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position here with the question, but I just, you know, conceptually, I guess.
Well, my very vague response, I apologize, but my very vague response would be anything that's not, that is related to the property. So property mortgage payments, property management commissions. So that's when the owner or the broker would pay themselves.
We pay ourselves, sure.
Trust account into the operating account. Distribution for owners. So each month you do your owner draw. That's what we use for releasing security deposits or prepaid rent. And like I said, anything related to the property. So if you have maintenance on the property, that would all be paid out of the trust.
So payments to vendors, to, you know, plumbers, electricians, people who have worked on that specific property, payments to gardeners and pool guys and the like.
Yeah, insurance companies. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that is pretty clear. I think I'm good. I think this has been a great discussion. Is there anything else that you'd like to bring up? Any other aspects that you'd like to discuss or mention?
Well, how much time do I have?
Right. Yeah. Well, we're kind of getting to the limit here. So I know, like, some of these topics and these podcasts could go on for hours, right? And I'm sure this is one of those.
I always say, I don't know what it says about me, but I love talking about this subject. But I will say, you know, you want to, I would say to the landlord or, you know, the landlord / homeowner, I would say that when you're interviewing a property management company, of course, find out whether or not they're in a trust account, get it in writing. And if you get it in writing from their bank, even better, and find out who is signing on those accounts. So that is also a big one. Only specific people can sign on the broker's trust account, and that is the broker and who's name the account is maintained, the designated broker, which for instance would be Bob for North County Property Management Group, and a salesperson licensed to Bob. Now, if there's anyone who's not a broker or an agent signing on that trust account, you want to ensure that they have a fiduciary bond insured up to the maximum amount that they have availability to at any time. Because let's say, for instance, they let their bookkeeper who doesn't have a fiduciary bond or whom is not an agent signing on those trust accounts, that happens a lot right there. And those funds could easily disappear because they weren't eligible signer.
Okay. Well, that's all good to know. And so I think it's probably somewhat commonplace that an accounting manager might have some degree of signing authority. So it's just important to make sure that if that's the case, that those people have the fiduciary bond in place.
Yes.
Okay. Terrific. Well, thank you so much for joining today. I know you're in the middle of a move to Boston and we're on separate coasts. How's the weather back there, by the way? It must be freezing.
Well, yeah, don't ask.
Okay.
No, I will say today it was a nice, warm 39 degrees. We're getting somewhere. Yeah.
A little bit different here in California, although we have had a lot of rain. Okay. Anyway, that was really good, great, extremely useful information that I'm sure our listeners can utilize and consider if they're thinking about renting their home or hiring a property manager. And thank you so much, Allison. We really appreciate you being here. That concludes today's episode. Thank you all for joining the Property Management Brainstorm podcast. And thank you for joining us again, Allison. And we will see you next time.
As we wrap up today, I'd like to make a quick plug to our listeners to click on the subscribe button, give us a like, and if you would, please pay it forward with a positive review. Thank you for tuning in to Property Management Brainstorm, where we are always working hard to find new ways to advance the property management industry, and we will catch you next time.